Hi, this is Buddy Watch. We are a podcast where we watch a bunch of stuff on the telly and then overanalyze it because it's important to do so. I'm Vaya, typically the host of Neighbours, the Neighbours Recap podcast. I also have one of my regular hosts from that joining us over here, CJ.
Hello.
And from Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9, Beck Dahl.
I'm back.
We are Buddy Watching the second episode of new Australian drama, Playing for Keeps.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though, it's pretty intense. I'm glad I've got buddies to watch it with.
Yes.
I'm into it. I told three people at my work to watch it today.
Yeah, it is. Word of mouth is crucial at this stage. And I do feel for our friends overseas who aren't privy to this viewing.
I'm sure they're going to sell it over there.
Yeah, someone will be cutting a deal.
Somebody binge that and binge this show at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah. I'm happy to have buddies because I do not understand the world of Australian rules football.
Yeah, you need like an assistance buddy.
This is very useful to me. So I have no sporting knowledge whatsoever. CJ's a Bombers fan.
I am.
Beck's a Crows fan.
Correct.
And obviously analyses the world of footy. Where we left off is on a big cliffhanger from episode one. One of the footy players, one of the Southern Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Into the drink, yep. Capsized.
And I guess we didn't really know. We knew he was dead. They got off the bus, but we didn't see a dead body in that first episode, did we?
No. We just saw an upturned canoe.
I'm okay with that, to be quite honest.
Yeah. I mean, Vera and I watch Law and Order Special Victims. I don't mind seeing a dead body every now and then just to know.
Just to be sure. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, and because obviously we come from the Neighbours world where you got to see the body to make sure they're dead.
We never saw Dee's body, and look what happened.
Well, look where that's turned out. She's turned out with the Southern Jets in Playing for Keeps, as it happens.
So you've got to make sure there's a body. So we have all-star lineup, Madeline West as the coach's wife, Jeremy Lindsay-Taylor as the coach, etc.
And our Lord and Saviour, Olympia Valance. Let's not forget her.
Yeah. And just, I reckon there's got to be a wardrobe department just for her styling.
She's amazing.
Imagine how much fun the wardrobe department's having with her. The budget they would have.
So Jack, a.k.a. Christos Pappas from Neighbours.
R.I.P.
Dead.
Rip. And we start Ep 2 with his memorial service.
Yeah. And it seems like a swanky affair. I mean, there's a toddler running around, which makes it a poignant moment.
CJ, I thought of you because you have a toddler.
Yep.
And since you had him.
Yep.
Your emotions have just been up to 11, cranked up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought of you when I saw him running around because I got teary.
Yeah. And the wife, you know, like even if she was having an affair, she didn't expect to have to raise the child alone forever.
We do not know she was having an affair. Let's not speak badly of Jess until we have more evidence.
I said even if she was.
Because I love her.
Yeah, she is lovely.
Yeah, she's got very earnest eyes.
She does definitely have a vibe that something's going on.
Oh, yeah, for sure she's having an affair.
And it's rough going. Little JJ is their child, Widow Wag.
And he's got no idea.
And Christos Pappas' son, little JJ, who I'm assuming is Jack Jr.
Yeah.
Or Jess Jr. Maybe he's Jesse.
Jesse well, Jack.
Maybe named after Jack Johnson from Southern Sons. I don't know.
Or maybe he's just like me. He's an acronym person.
Yeah.
Beck would also like to mention that Double Denim turned up to the funeral in what?
The same outfit that she bought the week before during the Pretty Woman clothes buying montage. And I personally am a big one on pay for wear. So if I buy something expensive, I want to wear it a lot of times.
Yep.
She's already half the price of that dress.
Yep.
It was a stroke of genius. Country Girl Paige, a.k.a. Double Denim, which is the outfit she debuted in. It was this sort of cut-out shoulder, cold shoulder number, black number.
It's sort of like a, you know, kind of like a Shrugalero situation.
It was like a Shrugalero.
Yeah.
I agree. I once had a friend at uni and she bought a top. She really wanted this top. It was really expensive. It was like $100 for a blouse. And she decided that if she wore it 100 times, it would be worth it.
Yeah.
So she just started counting.
Where was it from?
Just a little independent boutique on near where we live.
Okay, I was really hoping that it was a terrible shop and it fell apart on where like 17.
No, this was pre-fast fashion days.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So this, the only thing that would have made it more perfect, DD wearing the black dress, is if they hadn't acknowledged it. Because Olympia Valance comes in and mentions it and says, oh, finally, that dress looks good. But I wish they hadn't mentioned it. I wish that we as the viewer had just enjoyed her wearing that and us knowing and not having to be told.
I was going
to
say, that black dress, though, was only second to Olympia Valance's black dress, which was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen.
How does one describe this ensemble?
It was sort of lingerie.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. But I think probably 50% of a wardrobe is.
Yeah. And I mean, who doesn't want to wear lingerie to a memorial?
No. I mean, if it's a sexy memorial for a sexy footballer and everyone there's sexy.
And I like a sexy memorial as much as the next person. But I also enjoy that when she comes in, double denim says to her, words to the effect of, this is totally inappropriate, but you look hot.
And what does she say back?
She said, what did she say?
She says it is appropriate.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, so remember, she's got a perfume out. She's trying to move some units. Every event is a marketing opportunity.
For Talia by Talia.
Yeah.
Tals. She probably she spritzed herself with Talia.
I bet she did. She's probably spraying it everywhere just like, you know, to recall, like, you know, because it's a sense that marketers can't use, the smell. And so she's probably spraying it everywhere.
Just like leaving little bookmarks.
The change room probably smells like Tals now instead of sweat.
Well, no, because they mention later in the episode that the change room does smell. So maybe Talia needs to go in there.
She does. She needs to get, you know, the watered down perfume, the big bottles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She needs to get one of them and just slosh it around.
Slosh it around.
Pop some reed diffusers around the joint. Now, Double Denim did win the funeral because she basically said the best thing to the grieving widow. And that was, look, I know how you feel. Lost my nan. Not really the same.
Not the same. Not the same.
Nan was probably not long for this world anyway.
Yeah. She'd had a good life.
Yeah. Like Nan had finished raising her children.
She was Nan.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know. Maybe she helped raise Double Denim. Maybe Double Denim's an orphan. But she said, everyone was annoying me at the funeral. I told them all to get fucked and they had a good old laugh. And she went my favourite moments were that she went home to her boyfriend and gloated. Yeah. Like, I said a good thing at the funeral, won the widow over.
But they're fish out of water and they're just trying to figure out this world. And I like that a lot about them because if I was living in the football wear community with me and my husband, we'd be sitting there every night strategizing on how to deal with it.
What do we do with Talia by Talia?
Yeah. Mm. I don't know where we spray it.
I hope Double Denim went down to Chemist Warehouse and bought it.
Yeah.
Or just sprayed it on in the chemist while no one was looking. Don't need to buy it.
Okay, we also find out, I think at the funeral, Maddie, who's Annie Maynard, explains this technique that all the players employ, which is getting down to business but not completing, not finishing the act.
I think that is at the funeral, she says that.
Yeah, she asks, she says it's not appropriate again. Like she starts a conversation like that again. And then she says, is edging the same as makeup sex or something like, and she's like, no, that's something else. So we do get a great payoff later on.
Oh, perfection.
So I'm glad.
So is that what it's called, edging?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd never heard of it before.
I'd never heard that. And then I was like, is that me? Like, is that something the cool kids know?
I mean, it seems like a strange concept.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never dated anybody that would have needed to have edged.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, look, neither have I.
For a particular event.
Yeah.
There was nothing riding on anything.
I think suggesting it might be a bit of an insult. Give you the edge.
You've got a meeting tomorrow at work.
Yeah, that's right. Edging.
You under a bit of stress? No, I'm all right. Okay. Now, Coach JLT has a little go at Rusty, who was embroiled in some way at the end of Jack's life at the river.
So the autopsy has come through and it's definitely the coroner has not written canoe to the head.
No, as they so often do.
Yeah, they don't. That's not on there much. Basically, and he's drunk at the funeral and apparently sleeping a bit in the funeral.
Yeah.
Just nodded off.
And I mean, look, so everyone knows, most people I think in this football club think he's just still angry about the grand final and that's why he's done some murdering. But it's not that.
No, because you got a whole summer to get over your grand final situation.
Plus,
you know. You've got Christmas, you've got New Year. Good Australia Day.
You've got a trip to Europe.
I mean, they're not doing badly.
No, they're fine.
No, they're fine.
But he does get on it at the wake. I mean, that which is not a crime. I've been to some big wakes before.
Yeah. I mean, Ireland.
Yeah, well, that's right.
He might have Irish blood in him.
That's right.
But also, you know, like if your best friend, I think that's the connotation that they're best friends, has died, you might drink a lot at their funeral.
Yeah, I think that's not unreasonable.
We're getting a sense of the time frame that the first big game of the season is coming up.
Just around the corner.
Round one. So I'm assuming we've skipped pre-season tournaments. What are they called?
Competition.
AFLX. We didn't do that.
Does that still happen?
Yeah, I think it's still a thing.
Yeah. I thought we were just going to do W now and forget about
it. That's right. That should be the way.
So the media's sniffing around, but the cops reveal it.
Terribly. Yeah. They're out the front asking terrible. That front of house is James Hurd's front.
James Hurd's house.
I mean, they've got a gate to block out the media, but it doesn't block them out completely. They can still stick their microphones through and ask stuff.
Yeah, so maybe
they need to move to Ngambi.
They do have a very big house for a couple with no family.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I've developed this whole side story for the coach and his wife, right?
Excellent.
So, you know, they're both very like maternal and paternal of the players.
Yep.
I think they can't have children.
But they wanted to.
And they wanted to and it didn't happen. And so that's why they've taken on the boys and the girls at the club as their own. This came to me last night. And it also explains why they have so much white furniture.
Well, I mean, they're not having that if they have children.
No. But I reckon there's a sad tale, which I hope comes out.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, when was Madeline West on a show that she was pregnant? Remember when she put on Instagram with the belly?
Neighbours. She was...
did she show up pregnant?
Okay. She was in a dream. Toadie had a dream and Andrew was pregnant.
Oh, I was just really hoping then that the guy at the hotel knocked her up.
Although I can't do the age on them. I can't work out.
They're very youthful in the face, JLT and Mads.
Well,
These days you can't pick it. And Mads in real life has a brood of primary school age children.
She has 467 kids.
Yeah. So it's a whole primary school's worth of children.
Yeah, that's right.
Haven't they moved to like a small town where it's just them?
Yeah. The Bennett Wests.
Yeah.
So maybe my theory, I just came up with it right then as you were talking back, is that maybe they have one child who had no interest in sport.
So they kicked it out and put it up for adoption.
Just went to boarding school. Maybe it wants to be a dancer or something. And so
it's doing it's a VCA.
Oh, it's a dance academy in Sydney. Yeah. So it's disowned.
Yep. Well, they want nothing to do with it.
I mean,
imagine.
All right. So the only story that's not jiving with me so far is Olympia Valance, HRH, and the captain of the club, her fiance, and this dishonesty with him keeping from her that he was adopted.
Oh, because it's dumb.
Yeah. Because who cares?
Where does that get us? Nowhere.
I don't care. If my boyfriend is like, we've been together nearly a decade and he's like, hey, by the way, didn't tell you, I'm adopted. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, sure.
I'm still waiting for my husband to tell me he's really a prince.
And you wouldn't mind.
No. I can't wait for our trip to Europe where a nana teaches me how to drink tea properly.
And you write a diary about it.
Yeah. It'd be really nice. Also, like, if he didn't feel comfortable enough in his relationship to tell her, that's something they need to work on, not just get angry about.
It's not like he kept from her that he was engaged before or something. No. It's just, it's part of his family history.
I can't work out why would she be annoyed? What is the impact on her? What has this got to do with you, Talia?
Clearly, it's not something he just bangs on about to whoever. Like, it's something deep within his psyche that he's buried.
So,
except he told Madeline West.
He told Madeline West because she's his real mum.
Yeah. Back up the bus.
Fuck off. That's amazing.
Imagine if she... No.
I've got tingles.
That's how she knew.
Yeah, well, she knows.
In the first episode, she said, how did you know? I was at the club at the time. Why would you... Shut the front gate, CJ.
Full on goosebumps.
Also, if everyone at the if everyone at the club knows, why wouldn't Talia know?
Talia by Talia. Because only Madeline West knows because she birthed him. And that is why they're both so beautiful.
And
we're all very
beautiful.
With the
coach?
Yeah. Yes. And that's why he's fatherly.
And like, so they had the baby and went, you know what? We don't want to.
We've got our whole coaching and WAG career ahead of us. Yeah.
We'll dip back in when this kid's 16 and can kick a ball.
I go I'm so excited.
This isn't true. I'm going to be so annoyed.
But plants the seed for a future season 2.
It does.
Write that down, Channel 10.
Little nugget about Connor, Captain Connor. Probably relevant to no one except for CJ and I, but a friend of ours is an anthropologist.
Right.
And she told me during the week that Connor was one of her students.
Really?
At the Bluestone University? Sure, yep. She said, oh, I'm one of the players was my student. I'm like, which one? And she said, Connor. I'm like, oh, he looks like a supermodel. She's like, yeah, I was really disappointed when he became an actor because I was going to supervise him for his thesis. And I was,
is that what the kids are calling?
And he's like, I don't want to be an anthropologist, yeah. Sorry.
But I said to it, like, this is the risk when attractive people have skills and brains. It's like sooner or later showbiz is going to come a knock.
Triple threat.
Yeah.
Anthropology, acting, and nice hair.
I think the thing that really stresses me out is I just don't feel like he's a football player. You know.
God, no.
And a lot of them are too short, I think.
Yeah, they're not physically AFL looking.
Yeah, yeah.
Just out of them, because to me it's much of a muchness, out of the group, who do you think looks or seems the most like an actual active football player?
I think Dan, new Dan.
Yeah.
Country boy Dan.
Yeah, he looks like he should play for Geelong.
He does.
Yeah.
Little angel face.
Oh. I know, adorbs.
Yeah, and be on ads about dairy farms.
Yes.
Yeah. I think lawyer's husband looks like somebody who played.
He looks like a rugby league player to me.
Yeah, possibly, but like he looks like a guy that was in his final years and
that's true.
You know, is laid off the weights.
Oh, I've got so many questions about him coming back. Yeah, let's get to him.
I forgot his name every 5 minutes. Every 5 minutes, I'm like, lawyer's,
lawyer's husband.
Yeah, we're done with the memorial. The death was not an accident, but don't worry about that, guys. It's Paige from the Country Double Denim's first day teaching.
Yep. Oh, yes. Actual humans, apparently. It's her first day teaching humans.
Ever. She's never done teaching rounds.
Well, she didn't do it well, it's fair to say.
No, she's, look, I'm sure becoming a good teacher takes a long time, but I don't think she was quite ready for a classroom.
I don't think she's cut out for it.
Maybe she was, but she's become a meme.
Yeah.
She's gone viral, but also bizarrely. Like she only went viral because she wore that cold shoulder dress.
So I was watching on a computer screen and I'm not sure why she was viral. Is it just that her dress wasn't the best?
I couldn't work it out because, like, she was making a bit of a weird face but not a meme-worthy face, I didn't think.
She didn't have, like, toilet paper stuck in her shoe.
No.
I mean, ample opportunity. She's totally the type that would. So why not just shove a bit under there?
It just looked like she posed awkwardly for a nice photo.
Yeah, it was very odd. They could have done better.
Those shits 100% at school?
Should have been a see-through dress.
Yeah, like one nip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just a bit of a pop out.
Bra strap.
Yeah.
Anything.
No, bra straps. That's cool.
Okay.
I mean, it was 10 years ago, so I still think it is.
She's having a rough day, so she's trying to get in good with the teaching staff. Who cares?
And she just runs out of the classroom?
Yeah, yeah. She needs to strap on a pair.
She needs to watch Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
She does.
If you want to be somebody.
And you want to go somewhere.
Got to wake up and pay attention.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I've always said. Both me and Whoopi Goldberg.
And old mate at school tells her, you know what, if you're going to – because basically the principal comes over and says, well, if you can't get your crap together, you're out. I don't care who's your boyfriend
is. I mean, you had one job, Miss Dunkley, teach. That is to be in the room with a group of students.
Yeah, not run out. It's your only job.
Be in there.
Yeah.
Pretty basic.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter if you're a meme. Like that principal doesn't care about memes.
He wouldn't even know what a meme was.
No. So an old mate at school tells her you've got to get the principal to meet your boyfriend or someone from the club or go for drinks. Apparently a drink at the football goes a long way.
And it's like, honestly, she could have just said, okay, and it's like it's the first game of the season. She could have just said, look, it's the first big game of the season. My partner's got a lot of pressure on him. Let's give it a couple of games.
I know. Can I tell you though, if I had a dollar for every time I said to someone, oh yeah, no, we'll catch up for a drink at quarter time. I never meet them. My boyfriend's not even playing and I don't even meet them. Like, I just say that. I literally say that all the time to people. I never catch up with them. I'm like, oh, sorry, I forgot. Oh, my message mustn't have gone through.
Oh, there's so many people.
Yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
I don't even go to the footy and I'm going to start using that as an excuse. Yeah.
I mean, pretty much if someone sits within 3 rows from you, you might. And that's it.
Even then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back on for a second, an amazing moment with Olympia Valance having a go at Captain Connor. He's talking on the phone to his mum, hangs up. Olympia Valance reveals that she knows he's adopted. And on the moment where she says, that's not even your real fucking mum, turns out he hasn't hung up the phone. Mum's still on the line. repeats back on speakerphone in a perfect speakerphone delivery.
Connor, put me on speaker, please.
Love it. I love how he just does it.
Yeah. I mean, did you hear that mother's voice? Yeah. I would do anything, she said.
She was terrifying. That's considering she had to deliver that line probably in a studio somewhere without the rest of the actors. Oh. Amazing.
I assume we're going to get to meet her, and I cannot wait.
Can't wait.
And by the way, most women would crawl inside their bodies and die.
Yeah.
If did that. Not Tals.
Not Tals by Tals.
No.
She owns it.
Yeah. She's like, well, you're not his real mum.
Funny story.
Stand by it. Fact. CJ, would you talk us through the development with Maddie and Trav, Mr. and Mrs. Lawyer?
So, Lawyer is off trying to be a partner, and Beck can explain what that means. But from years of television watching, I think it just means you work a lot.
And your name goes on the door.
Yeah.
Or on the wall.
Sometimes, but not literally.
So what does it mean?
And you get more money?
Depends. Yeah. Usually if you're a partner, you've bought into the business.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're like a shareholder.
Yeah, in a way.
Of the law and justice.
And life.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like being Jim from Jim's Mowing.
That is sort of what it's like.
So it's her turn. He's had a big career as a footballer, and now he's going to stay home with the kids, which from all entails seems like he plays video games and the kids play in another room, which I'm sure is not what happened when she stayed home, but whatever.
Yeah, he's not going to be helicopter parenting.
No, gosh, no, that's not his style. He's going to stay home and she's going to work. She's not loving it at the moment because like one of their friends has died. Yeah, it's not a good time. Yeah, it's not a good time. I think she's maybe getting what I learned on the internet today is what's called a nanny rotation. We have more than one and you rotate them.
They're a shit nanny. I've done some babysitting in my time and I'm pretty great at it, if I do say so myself, right?
Yep.
I do not, as soon as the parent walks in the door, pack up my bag and walk out. I go, okay, so.
You do a handover.
Yeah, little Jimmy had his dinner and we watched a movie and he read two stories. You know, like I give them a little debrief of what we did.
Yeah.
You know, they had a great time. We had a bath. He washed his hair, didn't wash his hair. Like, you know, you'd go through all that. Don't just fuck off.
Vey, you saw my daycare like essay I received the other day about what Angus did. And like
it's a photo essay.
It was essay. It was a collage even, really. And the whole point in having a nanny over daycare is that you get more personalized.
Yes.
Not less.
Yeah, she had chewed that.
So that was a bad hire, Maddie. You're a lawyer.
Yeah.
Scrutinize your clients better.
Her mind's not at home. No. And I don't blame her because she's waited conceivably 10 years to.
That's right.
Yeah.
Why don't they just get a nanny?
I don't.
Who's just always there?
So I learned through a podcast today that a nanny rotation means that they don't burn out as quick. Oh. So if you have like two and they work like instead of like working 50 hours a week, one of them that they.
Which is essentially like having your own child.
Yes.
But you get paid for it.
It's more fun if you get to split up with.
Yeah, it's more fun and you don't, because looking after a kid all the time's hard. Yeah. That's why people get nannies. Anyway, so she comes home and we have learnt about urging earlier on in the episode. We'll just point that out now. And she says, what are you not telling me or something? They're having a cute conversation. It's kind of sweet. Like they're having an end of the day conversation in bed and he's not going to tell her. He's keeping it from her. He's making her guess. And then he's like, I signed a contract. Now, if you're a lawyer in the relationship, right, does anyone sign a contract when you're not there?
That. And also, like, as a football aficionado, I know that there are time limits on when you sign players. You can't just, a week before the season starts, go to some guy who retired last year and say, funny story, do you want to come back and play? You've got to put your team list in. There's a draft in November. There are rules.
Well, and at very least, you know, the footy show's got to put a list up.
Correct.
Well, maybe, because see, that they could have done it in that way, that he put his name down in November and didn't tell her. That could have been fun.
Well, I think they're going with the, you know, obviously my club when everyone couldn't play because they'd taken some things.
Some alleged things.
Alleged things. I mean, we had people coming back from, like, not from Essendon, but people coming back from retirement. I mean, we had the, you know, like the regular cleaner playing. Like
Everybody got to go.
Yeah. Australian cricket bowlers, like anything.
That's true. I mean, RIP Jack out. Trav in.
Right. Okay.
I assume is how it happened.
I assume they were like, you know, what's it called mid-season when you have a season injury and then you can bring someone.
Oh, when you put them on the long-term injury list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is definitely a long-term injury death.
Death is about, yes.
Yeah. So do you get some special consideration?
I reckon you probably would.
Yeah. Extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, that's right.
Too bad, Mads. We can't have a Madeline and a Maddie. Anyway, so
we've got a Paige and a Lynch. Yeah.
Maddie, lawyer Maddie, is not happy with this situation. So what is – but she has her own little plan.
So she goes to sleep and she is vindictive AF and I love it. So she goes to sleep. She sleeps next to him. Obviously doesn't give him any inkling that she's annoyed. She's forgiven him. You know, he's her big football man. And then she wakes up in the morning and says she's had a dream about
Roger Federer.
Which is like, possibly the least believable of the entire situation.
I was like, surely it's like Chris Hemsworth or something.
Yeah. But I mean, like, he's got dark skin and dark hair and her husband does. Maybe it's her type.
Yeah, maybe.
Know. I don't know.
I thought it was a weird reference.
It's weird because Roger Federer is not typically a sex symbol.
No.
It's not like Rafael Nadal. Or,
yeah. That's true. Nadal is – I don't know anything about tennis, but Nadal's more attractive.
I don't reckon Roger would get the juices flowing first thing in the morning.
Roger would be like, make you breakfast in bed.
And maybe then, she just likes the money.
Yeah, true. And then read your book.
Well, actually, Roger's got a few kids and, like, he once injured himself giving the twins a bath. So he seems like a very hands-on dad.
Sounds
so maybe,
like a great guy.
Yeah, so maybe she just wants someone to be more present in the parenting role and that gets her going.
Less PlayStation, more parenting. Mm. That's what she's after. So what happens?
She wakes up sunshine and roses.
She does. And she says, I've had a dream about Roger Federer and jumps on in to old Trav. And this is a weird thing to say, but I thought it was excellent sex acting.
I agree.
Sexting, if you will.
It was really good.
I was like, I'm actually buying this. Like, the faces. Yeah. And I was like.
Maybe they really did.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
They did. No, I agree. Nailed the sexting. Except for the classic Sex and the City lingerie still on. For the act maneuver, which is there's not too many ways you can avoid that. But she fails to allow Trav
to get the edge.
To get the edge.
And Trav's face goes from like orgasm to very worried very quickly when he realizes that there's a finish line.
We've learned early on that he swore by edging. Like it was what he's defined his career by not finishing, apparently.
Probably invented it.
That's right.
And also he defined his career by not finishing and also by not finishing his career and going back.
Yeah. So it's poetic in a way.
I guess. Anyway, so she's done and then she's like, I'm not saying sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Well done, Maddie. I appreciate you.
That was amazing.
And meanwhile, over at the country couple's morning, she's offering him. She's like, do you want pre-game lovemaking? What do you want?
Do you want to finish? Do you not want to finish? I don't care.
It was so incredibly awkward. I loved it.
It was perfect.
But instead she tries to talk about their feelings, about what happened on
Bad move. Bad move.
What should we call that incident?
The murder.
The camp, camping.
Murder camp.
Yeah. He doesn't want to talk about murder camp. He's ready for the big game.
Oh, the other bit of that I loved is when she decided to make him breakfast and she said, don't eat the avocado, it's not ripe. Like it was just for looks.
Which is perfect. But I just wish we'd seen her taking a couple of photos of it first.
No, but she doesn't have Insta, remember? So well, she'd have nowhere to upload them.
Yeah. She's a teacher. She's got to keep that, lock that shit down. But also it's another hint as to the extravagant lifestyle they now lead. Avocado is expensive, but they can just turf it out with gay abandon and not eat it.
That's because the club's setting them up with the house with the coconut water. They're fine.
It probably came in the gift basket.
Yeah, that's right.
And we all know in Australia, like you have an avocado for 6 weeks and it's not ripe. And then the second you want to use it, it's brown and disgusting.
Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
Murphy's Law of avocados.
She's probably got 12 like that in the cupboard.
Let's get to game day.
Did that make you sad that she'd wasted it?
Yeah, I'm on a zero waste journey at the moment. And
hopefully she composted it. Can you compost the avocados?
You can, if you've got a bokashi bucket, you can compost anything.
Beautiful. Oh, this is taking a turn.
It's a very uplifting turn.
Yeah.
Or what do you do with them?
I don't know what you're doing right now.
Mush. No, with your bucket, you move it around. What do you do?
You mash
it. No, you don't have to. Oh, you mash it?
If you've got a proper compost at the back, you've got to aerate the compost.
God. I don't think they'd have one of them in the palatial. apartment.
Because they have someone that comes in and does
Yeah.
Because she's great for apartment composting. Now, game day, black armbands are on.
Yep.
I thought the armband was like sewn into the fabric, guys.
No, because they don't wear sleeves.
No, because they don't plan for someone to die.
Tape.
You know, I saw it on the episode.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was expecting.
Oh, that's exactly how it is.
Exactly, okay. Yeah. That's IRL. They have that.
Maybe
yeah.
I've seen it on like a fictional movie about soccer or something.
And yeah. sometimes they have like double if a few people have died.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Grim.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like clubs have been around for a long time. There's some old people.
Or that's, even like young people.
People die.
Okay. People die. People
and other people wear bands. Like the person could have only died the night before and they put the bands on.
Okay, right.
No one plans a murder cam.
Got it.
I mean, the coach did.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the coach, how about this speech?
Rousing.
I was so excited. Like I was in that game. Were you in that
game? Me too. I was like, yeah, yeah, come on.
JLT was stirring, rallying the troops to play for Jack because he can't play anymore.
You play it now.
You've been told to keep your heads down and your mouth shut. Well, not today. You got the opportunity to represent the people turning up out there today, right now, tens of thousands of them, to represent each other and to make a statement about who Jack Davies was and what he meant to this football club.
Not today. Not today. You get out and you show him who what Jack, whatever Jack his name was.
Christos Pappas.
Yeah, it was amazing. I hope he went home that night with no voice because it was worth it.
Well, he went home with someone.
Incredible. And then we, not just that, we get the minute silence.
Oh, and the girls watching it and there was a little like...
And Jess walking in with the baby.
Oh, Mads came and took the baby.
Yeah.
JJ, Winnie's little dad's little jersey. Oh,
stop it.
I got a proper lip wobble then.
You know what? There was one part where they lost me. That was when they showed that alleged scenery of the Oval. It was like some like weird painted on paper. Like the vision out of the window was very odd.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it took me out of the moment.
So, I didn't know it from a bar of soap. So to me, that all looked real.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. But can we talk about what I think is the moment of the episode?
Yeah.
Double Denim walking in to the – what's that box called? Is it a box?
It was Family and Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the Essendon ones behind my seats. And on family day, it's like that. Yeah.
Okay. So it is a box. Yeah. That is the right word.
It's a large box.
Okay. It's the VIP area.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
And all the wags dressed to the nines.
Yeah. Tali's in like a big – fur jacket or something.
It was amazing.
Yeah. It's heaven. And then she delivers that cracker line, oh, they're looking at us. And Talia goes, no, they're looking at me.
I love it. Imagine one day with that kind of confidence.
Amazing.
I can't. Yeah. I can't. What is Double Denim wearing? Not the denim today.
She's wearing the Guernsey and like the big footy jacket. And they just look at her and she's like, what? This one I always wear the footy.
It was so cute.
It was adorable.
It was so cute.
And like she'd obviously gone to get a Jets jumper, which I really loved.
Because she didn't know the club song, so clearly she barracks for a different team.
I feel like they're almost possibly from a country town that's not Victorian and that AFL but may not
they
have.
Did they say they're from Cole?
Casterton, but is that real?
Casterton, yeah.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I just sort of imagine they were like from New South Wales where football's not the biggest, you know, so she's just like, whatever, the Jets, let's go.
Oh, Casterton's a real town.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
It's near Mount Gambier, I think.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah, it's near the South Australian border. Yeah.
Oh, well, the football's big there.
Yeah, they've been Geelong supporters. I'm convinced of it. They've got Geelong written all over them.
Okay.
But not Adelaide?
Nah. Too far.
Sports ball, go team.
Sports ball. A lot of things were happening, which led up to the last few seconds of the game, which is when our new recruit had the ball.
Not even a mark, on the go.
On the go. Kick on the siren.
Yep.
I'm getting goosebumps now.
I jumped to my feet.
And he won the game.
Is that – can you win – so is that a typical thing that could happen?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it happening to somebody who their first game?
I mean, unlikely.
Yeah. I think – I imagine the first game is more like a miss the goal in the third quarter kind of situation.
Although statistically, the number of AFL players who kick a goal with their first kick in AFL footy is uncanny.
Oh, okay.
And he's got nothing to lose because one of their teammates is dead. So he's like, you know, might as well give it a go. I'm alive.
Yeah.
What else have we got?
Nothing to lose.
Yeah, here I go.
Also, is that just because the team rallies around them to get together?
I reckon that's a bit of that, yeah.
Another one of my favourite moments is the club is elated. The Jets are in the VIP section cheering, jumping for joy, and Jess looks over and is like, okay, I'm glad you're all happy.
My husband's dead.
I'm still a widow.
I mean, that was really sad.
There's also a bit of an undoing with Jess and Paige.
There was,
oh, we forgot about that.
Paige is like, I'm in with the widow now. I've won her over. I'm going to press this further and try and figure out why she was having a tete-a-tete with Rusty over at the barbecue the other week.
Mm.
So first thing, she arrives to the house of the widow's home and pushes the reporters aside. And I thought she was very mature. Yeah.
Have you ever lost someone?
Yeah. I think it's she's like, said. And she's lost her nan.
So she knows.
She knows.
Hasn't any of you lost your nan? Come on. You've all got them.
Well, or had them.
Or had them. Now, at that point of the episode, she's already announced things that she said as inappropriate twice.
Yes.
And the time that she is actually super inappropriate.
Doesn't announce it.
Jess is not happy with any kind of allegations.
Well, she kind of led into it because I had a coffee and then Jess said basically, oh, F this, let's have a wine or words to that effect.
Love it.
Which I was like in for. Then she's just like, so I saw you talking with Rusty at the coach's barbecue.
Right before your husband died.
Yeah, right before your husband, R.I.P.
What's that about?
And I just thought, what is her motivation? Aside from being nosy.
Because she's all like, I just want to let you know that I know about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you were the only person there. Actually, you could just fold that information into your head and never think about it again.
And also, she doesn't know these people. They go way back.
Well, that's right. She doesn't know the history. See, Paige lost me a bit there.
Yeah. I mean, anything could have happened. He got drunk at the house and, you know, peed in the wrong place.
And he was like, pissing on your bed.
Yeah. I thought it was the toilet. Yeah.
Perfectly simple explanation.
Yeah.
So the clubs has this triumph. Everyone's celebrating except for Double Denim. Nick's off to try and have a work drink with the teachers.
Yeah, it's not cool.
I really think she could be able to say, look, it's my partner's first match and I'm very confused. I don't know what team he plays for.
Yeah.
I don't know the song and I've got to go to this room and meet Tiles. Like,
yeah, don't you know Tali by Tali?
I'll go get a free perfume for you and I'll be back.
But like in three or four games when, I mean, he's probably, we're living in like neighbours land here where he's going to win the Brownlow by the end of the year.
Correct.
She's going to wear that dress to the Brownlow.
Oh, 100%.
Another moment that took me out of the world for a second was when the country couple head home to their apartment and they walk in the door and then Dan goes to Paige, did you see it? Like my goal, my winning goal. I'm like, did you guys not talk about this in the car?
Yeah, but we weren't in the car.
Or in the Uber or walking from the ground.
Maybe they were in an Uber and he didn't want to like show off
to the driver.
Or he thought he might lose points.
Yeah, you wanted to get a 5-star review.
You guys had a good night?
Yeah, good night.
Not much.
No. Yeah, had some work on.
Yeah. Just a bit late home from work.
But what about the end? The end scene of this show is just getting me every time because I thought, oh, yeah, it's cruising along this show now, whatever, no big deal. And then we get to the last scene and it's holy smokes. We learn through flashback that Captain Connor left Jack in the drink for, I don't know, like he must have tipped out of his canoe and then Connor thought it would be, I don't know, character building. Is it Connor that leaves in there? No, sorry, not Connor.
No, it's Rusty.
Rusty leaves poor old Jack in the drink to flail around.
Yeah, well, if I was rooting someone's wife, I'd let him drown too.
And there's drugs in his system.
Yes. Cause
first I'd drug them.
Yeah, because Dr. Lauren was grilled by JLT.
In more ways than one.
And that was shocking to me.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't nice, was it? But it's slightly better than him holding his head under.
But that feels more expected, as if they'd had a stoush and it got out of hand. Yeah.
Maybe they were having the affair, the boys.
We'd
all enjoy that.
I found it more horrifying that it was a team building exercise and one of the team members left the other team member.
Yeah, so he's a psychopath.
Bob around in the water.
Yeah, there's more to it. I don't know what.
Well, should we give our scores?
Oh, yes. 3-2-1.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give 3 votes to Connor's mum for her speakerphone work. Yeah. I'm going to give 2 votes to Dan for winning the game.
Mm.
And I'm going to give 1 vote to JLT for that rousing speech.
I'm going to give Tiles 3 votes.
Tali by Talia.
Yeah. I'm going to give her 3 votes for not breaking at all to that mother's voice because I would die. I'm going to give 2 votes to Widow for showing up at the football.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to give 1 vote to Double Denim for doubling up that outfit.
Incredible. I'm going to go 3 votes JLT for that stirring speech. It made me want to play footy.
Yeah.
And I've never kicked one. But I reckon I could go the winning goal just from that speech.
Yeah, first game.
2 votes to Talia by Talia for the funeral outfit. Underwear is outerwear.
Yeah, always appropriate.
And 1 vote to Lawyer Maddie for just preventing the edge.
only soft curves ahead.
Just an orb for poor old Trav. This is fun now because I'm not good at maths, so I'll have no idea who's going to get the...
That's all right. They often don't at the Brownlee.
No.
So this is a bloody great time. We're going to watch episode 3 and report back on that as well next time. Share this episode if you liked it. Share the link with your mates. Give us a review on iTunes and all that fun stuff. We are Buddy Watch, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Buddy Watch Pod, CJ.
I'm at CJ the Hot Mess Mum on everything.
Beck.
Follow Chicks Talking Footy at
Chicks Talking with No I Footy.
Yeah.
And listen live Wednesday nights.
Yep. Actually, next week's the last episode for the season. So
I was wondering if you recap the grand final.
Yeah. Just to be clear on what happened.
Yeah, the actual grand finals this weekend.
Yeah, it is.
Not the fictional one, the real one. So that means nothing to me. I'm just probably going to go to the movies or something. But
I mean, our teams aren't playing.
Yeah, so mildly care.
So we're probably more invested in the Jets season.
I'm, that's totally right. I mean, they've won a game.
Yeah.
Amazing. We should, yeah. If only we had tips. If only we knew all the fictional teams and we could put tips in. I'm Vaya Pashos and we'll baddie watch more Playing for Keeps next time.
Bye.
Bye.